these dark and dreary days of winter, we could certainly use a blessing. The arrival of the Sabbat of Imbolc, the midway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, brings one. The cold and the snow are supposed to be receding, and they are somewhat. The seeds are beginning to stir beneath the earth. We begin to open up into the light and stir from our hibernation. It's still a dreary time. The days are lengthening, but the dark still comes far too early. We haven't had much snow, and so the fields are a dark brown, and it's cold. Many of us are starting to voice how tired we are of winter, how ready we are for spring, and indeed, even though it's hard to see, spring is, I promise, just over the horizon. Imbolc is a symbol of the hope that comes with this moment, that it will again be warm and bright, both our weather and our outlook. Believing in this blessing is a leap of faith. It can be hard to believe that the longer days are on their way when the clouds rarely part. But even when the sky is low and heavy and gray, I know that the sun is still up there behind them, and that I will again see it someday. I can't tell you how much my spirits lifted during the 2 hours that the sky was clear on Monday morning, and how deeply I could feel the light in my being as I walked on the snow-covered lake until the clouds started to gather again. Alice Walker writes, "And I don't mean the stirring of seeds beneath the snow, but the place between and the moment before. We're in that moment before, right now. Before the seeds start to stir, before the weather breaks in the spring, we're in that moment of waiting, of anticipation. We haven't even planted the seeds yet, unless we have fancy lights in our basements, but we know that we will. And just that, for me, is a source of hope. The wheel of the year will continue to turn, and I will get to plant seeds soon. I'll get to participate in the cycle, to feel my hands in black soil, gently covering these tiny little seeds that will grow into things that will feed me. Right now, when it's dark and dreary, that remembering really does feel like a leap of faith." That's a metaphor, too, of course. Like everything about my faith, I hold an understanding of the natural world as both observable reality and as symbols for what happens to me inside. We move in cycles, too. I happen to be in an internal phase right now that matches the cold and dark of winter, and I'm guessing that a few of you are as well. I'm waiting for the conditions to be right for my own seeds to be planted and eventually nourished into something that can feed me. Is this true for you too, in some way? What is dormant inside you, like the seeds and the perennial roots that are sitting in the frozen ground right now? What is locked in your depths? And what hope will it take to warm the soil enough for your dormant parts to awaken, to grow up and out of you like the seedlings we will be waiting for soon? Francis David helped to grow hope for religious freedom, and he represents an important piece of Unitarian history. As the court preacher during Transylvania's Reformation, David was in a unique position to influence how the king thought about religion. And David had had quite a religious journey himself, starting out as a Catholic priest, then becoming a Lutheran and serving as bishop in that faith for a couple of years, and then converting to Calvinism and serving as a bishop in that tradition. It wasn't until he came to court and started having conversations with George Biondretta, who was the court physician, that he started believing in the one God of Unitarianism. This was a time of huge upheaval of the spread of Calvinism throughout Europe, and pressure to support that faith tradition was very high. So David understood really well the importance of the freedom to follow a faith tradition you actually believed. And so he influenced the king to support religious freedom, which is in contrast to the story that I read to the children. I think together they figured out that religious freedom didn't mean that everybody should be Unitarian, but it meant that everybody should be free to figure out their beliefs. So the Edict of Torda was a proclamation for religious tolerance in that time. It was a direct renunciation of the national establishment of a single religion. And it was also the first claim to freedom of the pulpit for preachers. It protected preachers to say whatever the Spirit moved them to say. 3.5 centuries later, James Luther Adams followed that call to religious freedom. Adams was one of the most prominent theologians and social ethicists in our Unitarian history. He was born into a fundamentalist family in 1901, and he developed a deep sense of the importance of social solidarity based on the shared participation in a religious community. His personal religious journey moved toward the liberal end of the spectrum from fundamentalism, and he went to Harvard Divinity School to become a Unitarian minister in the 1920s. He served 2 Unitarian congregations after he graduated, and then in 1935, he accepted a call to join the faculty at Meadville Lombard on the condition that he be allowed to study abroad in Europe for a year first. And so Adams witnessed the rise of the Nazi government. He joined the underground church movement, and he filmed leaders of both church-related resistance groups and pro-Nazi leaders of the so-called German Christian Church. The Dictionary of Unitarian and Universalist Biography says that he then returned to the United States more convinced than ever that the tendency of religious liberals to be theologically content with vague slogans and platitudes about open-mindedness could only render liberal churches irrelevant and impotent in the face of the world's evils. And he stated his convictions loudly and frequently. So Adams was one of our heretics. The past 2 weeks have seen executive orders by our new president aimed at rolling back the Affordable Care Act, at expediting environmental reviews on infrastructure projects like the Dakota Access Pipeline, at building a wall along the border we share with Mexico, at deporting immigrants and adding enforcement officers, at banning immigrants from Muslim-majority countries, and at reducing regulations in general. These past 2 weeks have also seen the sacred day of Imbolc, with its reminder that all existence is a cycle and that with each turn of the wheel there is the possibility of hope. These past 2 weeks have seen the beginning of Black History Month, an intentional time to remember the stories of our Black siblings. These past 2 weeks have seen the formation of numerous groups in Madison and elsewhere, both faith-based and secular groups that will fight for the vulnerable among us. The Cap Times reported yesterday that Dane County was one of 20 municipalities selected to participate in the $100 million initiative to reduce incarceration called the Safety and Justice Challenge. The county will focus on supporting the community restorative courts expansion, including training local peacemakers. In the wider world, Pope Francis's Worldwide Prayer Network's February theme is Welcoming the Needy. Our Unitarian Universalist Association has created a declaration of conscience that they're all inviting us to sign, UUA.org. And here in our beloved community, these last 2 weeks have seen us share our joys and sorrows, They have seen us welcome strangers into our midst. They have seen us learn together what is most needed for us to be strong, and for us to take care of ourselves and each other. James Luther Adams wrote in 1976 that one of the five foundational tenets of religious liberalism was, quote, that the resources, divine and human, that are available for the achievement of meaningful change justify an attitude of ultimate optimism. This view does not necessarily involve immediate optimism. He's saying that our capabilities and potential as human beings and the influence of that which is greater than each of us alone, whether that is us in community or a spirit of some sort that lives with us, those give us reason for long-term hope, but not necessarily hope in our immediate future. He's got his eyes on the prize, even after experiencing the rise of fascism in Nazi Germany, and he reminds us to take the long view. But he also reminds us that slogans and platitudes and banners are not enough. He goes on to say, the affirmative answer of prophetic religion, which may be heard in the very midst of the doom that threatens like thunder, is that history is a struggle in dead earnest between justice and injustice, looking towards the ultimate victory in the promise and fulfillment of grace. Anyone who does not enter into that struggle with the affirmation of love and beauty misses the mark and thwarts creation as well as self-creation. He encourages us, just as we talk here almost every week, to not just remember love and beauty, but to embody them, because they are evidence of the sacredness of life. The hope in this rests, again, in our human capacity for acknowledging it. I believe this is what has moved our current Unitarian Universalist Association president, the Reverend Peter Morales, to respond to the challenge to our UU principles and values that's being posed in this new administration, because that is exactly what this is. To invite us to sign this Declaration of Conscience. It reads, at this extraordinary time in our nation's history, we are called to affirm our profound commitment to the fundamental principles of justice, equity, and compassion, to truth and core values of American society. In the face of looming threats to immigrants, Muslims, people of color, and the LGBTQ community, and the rise of hate speech, harassment, and hate crimes, we affirm our belief in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. In opposition to any steps to undermine the right of every citizen to vote or turn back the advances in access to health care and reproductive rights, we affirm our commitment to justice and compassion in human relations. And against actions to weaken or eliminate initiatives to address the threat of climate change, actions that would threaten not only our country but the entire planet, we affirm our unyielding commitment to protect the interdependent web of all existence. It continues, we will oppose any and all unjust government actions to deport, register, discriminate, or despoil. As people of conscience, we declare our commitment to translate our actions, to translate our values into action, as we stand on the side of love with the most vulnerable among us. We welcome and invite all to join in this commitment for justice. The time is now. So the hope that this gives me is that our UUA president, who is of course one person, our UUA president seems to have embodied, to have taken in these words of James Luther Adams, to understand that the signing, the simple signing of a statement of conscience is a great first step. But the statement itself says very definitive things that we're going to do. The other thing that gives me hope is not contained in this statement. What gives me hope is the thing that happens here every Sunday. The sharing, the open-heartedness, the vulnerability that I see here, the welcoming that I see here. If it's your first time here, I'm going to bet you've been talked with by at least two people already. This congregation and Unitarian Universalism contains the messages that are going to fix this world. And it also contains the potential for us to be taking care of each other in this room. That gives me hope. May we learn to take the leaps of faith needed in this time, the leaps that guide us into more open-hearted relationship with each other, the leaps that guide us into making those phone calls to our representatives, the leaps that guide us into marching, the leaps that guide us into joining organizations that will, in fact, defend our vulnerable and each other. May it be so, and may we be so.